This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Don't forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can catch the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. On iTunes, leave a 5-star rating and a review talking about how handsome I am. We're going to make fun of Republicans in a second, and we're going to hear from Corinne Diversity Hire. But I do think we should check back in once again. I have asked... Fellas, I want your stories on how difficult labor was for you. For so long, we have heard from women about how difficult it is. This guy checks in and says, the doctor telling me to put my cigarette out while we were in the middle of delivery. He said the smoke was getting in his eyes. This guy says, when my wife gave birth to our first, I was assured by the doctor that I would be on the safe side of the curtain and I would not be involved in the delivery. Both were lies. There was no curtain, and I was asked to pull on my wife's leg while the birth was happening. That's so true. I was told that I wasn't going to have to be involved, that I could be there, but I wasn't going to have to be involved. Now, it's not that I didn't care, but I don't know what I'm doing. I've got all kinds of, look, she's in pain. I can't fix it. Oh my gosh, there's blood. I didn't want to be involved in that. So look, we're going to continue to read those stories throughout the show on your stories, gentlemen, about the things you've gone through for too long. Women have owned this issue. Labor is tough on the men. Now let's go to Diversity Hire real quick.
That this legislation will help bring down inflation in the long term, perhaps later this decade, but there's near universal agreement that this is going to do very little to actually bring down inflation in the near term, which seems to be when Americans would be looking for an Inflation Reduction Act to actually address inflation.
That is something that we disagree with.
And that's why you don't hire somebody just because she's a black lesbian. We call her Corinne Diversity Hire for a very specific reason. She's completely unqualified for that job. She makes herself and the Biden administration look somehow dumber every single day, which is very, very difficult. She was hired because she's a black lesbian, not because of her ability to communicate things. And it's frankly hysterical. Actually, she makes the job easier. Chris said while I was playing that, he said he's terrified about having a kid. Chris, it's just you and me talking now, right? I'm not going to lie to you. It sucks. Now, listen, hear me out. the pregnancy itself, in all seriousness, obviously she's going through it all. I mean, you have to deal with, you know, you have to deal with very little things compared to what she's dealing with. It's not that. But the whole, that's the biggest lie in the history of the world of, oh, it's so beautiful having a baby. What part? What part? The pain? Having your woman sitting there in pain that you can't fix? Was that the most beautiful part? Or was it, did you enjoy the blood? Was the blood a good time? Was that a good time? Oh, maybe it was the sleep deprivation. Oh, Chris, you better be resting up. As soon as you get anywhere close to delivery day, Jack, you better be getting the 8-10 hours a night, because you ain't sleeping for a long time once she goes into labor. Maybe it's the panic on the way to the doctor's office. Oh my gosh, what if we get rear-ended? She's gonna have the kid right here in the car. Maybe you really enjoyed that. The only good part of the whole thing is the kid you get in the end. Now, granted, I will admit that part's really cool. But even that, by the time you actually get the kid, yeah, you're in love with the kid and you're like, oh my gosh, I could die for this kid. At the same time, you're so freaking tired. You're lucky if you don't pass out with the kid in your arms. And then get this, Chris. You'll really love this. I don't know if they still do this, but it drove me crazy. After the wife had our first, James, she's obviously exhausted. I mean, she's just given birth to a baby. She's a little tired, needs some sleep. The nurses, maybe it was just at our hospital, the nurses, they would come, quote, check on her every 2 hours. And when I say check on her, I don't mean pop your head in the room, make sure she's not dead. They would come in and talk to her. And if she was asleep, they would wake her up. I was younger and I had a shorter temper and I was sleep deprived, in my defense. About the second or third time they did this, I was so irate that they just come in and woke her up again. I said, and I stormed out into the hall and I stood guard at the door. I just decided, I'm not sleeping. Forget sleep. I'll sleep another time. No one's coming through this door again. And I don't mean sat. I don't mean leaned against the wall. I stood guard like it was the Marines again. And I just stood there and the nurse came. I said, nope, I got to check on her. She's fine. But I got to check on her. I just said, she's fine. Keep walking. And they moved on along. I had to stand guard at the door so she could sleep. Oh, it sucks, Chris. It's awful. Republicans suck too. Headline is, Senate passes veterans health bill after Republicans cave to pressure. And man, if that isn't an appropriate way to describe it. The bill passed 86-11. And it was, of course, sold as a bill for veterans. Now, I want to explain the burn pit thing again. I've explained it before on the show, but a lot of people don't understand what it is. When you're in combat, when you're overseas, when you step out of civilization, of extremely modern civilization, you know, the one you know, the one I know, when you step out of that and go into different areas of the world, you find out how many basic services you take for granted. You know something you take for granted and I take for granted? Today was trash day at my house. Do you know what I did? I got up. I told my sons it's trash day. We went into the garage, grabbed our trash cans. We hauled our trash to the end of the driveway and dropped it there. I then went to work. Do you know what I'm going to see when I knock off work here in a couple hours and drive home when I get to my house? You know what I'm going to see? The trash will be gone. It's like the trash fairy just descended from heaven and picked my trash up and it disappeared. But hold on, wait, there's more. Not only will my trash be gone from my home when I get home tonight, I'll never see it again. And I mean, I'll never see any trash again. And believe me, I've worked in a dump before. I'll go into that another time, but I'm aware. I know there are landfills and dumps. I get that, but I won't pass one in my daily life. There's a chance I'm 41 years old. There's a chance I'll die. I think we all know I'm going to die around 65. There's a chance I'll die without ever laying eyes on your trash or my trash again. That's just a no-brainer for you. You're probably sitting there shrugging your shoulders saying, yeah, it doesn't work that way in other countries. Other countries don't know what to do with their poop. And not to put too fine a point on it, but you know I'm a crude barbarian. Getting rid of human waste is something else you take for granted and I take for granted. if my lunch starts working on my stomach now, and admit, let's say I ate some bad shrimp or something like that, and I got to run to the bathroom and take a Chris, I'm going to finish, and I'm going to hit the flush button, and it's going to be gone, and I don't have to think about it. I'm not going to have to step in it, step over it. I'm barely going to have to smell it. It's just going to be gone. That's not everyone's situation in this country or in this world. That's not everyone's situation in this world. So over to Iraq, when you're in a place without the facilities, oftentimes you have to burn things. I've told you before about how we had to burn our waste, pour diesel fuel on these big buckets full of human waste and toilet paper, and then light it on fire. And the guys would wrap whatever they could around their faces to try to protect their lungs. But in the end, you have these burn pits around full of waste of various kinds. Well, when you burn stuff like that, it gets toxic to human lungs. We have a bunch of veterans out there right now suffering because we had these burn pits in Iraq burning all this toxic stuff right beside them on a regular basis. And so now you sign up, you serve your country, you go over there, you fight, you come back home, you get out, and now your quality of life is bad. Maybe your life is almost over because of things you went through there. So they're trying to find a way to get veterans some money, to get veterans some help. All that stuff is fine, except Democrats are a bunch of anti-American communist scumbags, and they threw billions of dollars, and I do mean billions of dollars, 280 of them in the bill without specifications. Just without specifications. Hey, it's a veterans bill. Got to help out those veterans. Save our troops. Love America. Hey, we need an extra $280 billion. Okay, but I can't see in the bill where it's going. Ah, it's for the troops. But Republicans fell for it. You want to know why Republicans fell for it? I'll tell you why in a second.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and remember, you can email the show anything you want, your love, your hate, your death threats. Email those to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Back to what I was talking about. Republicans, of course, caved. The vote was 86-11. They passed this bill, quote, for veterans. The bill had $280 billion in it that really wasn't designated for veterans. Some Republicans, a few of them, stepped up and said, hey, could we put something in the bill to make sure this $280 billion actually goes to veterans? Democrats freaked out for some reason and said, no, just pass it. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? Well, you know why, but that leads me to my point. Why are Republicans so weak and pathetic? Well, there are a lot of reasons Republicans are weak and pathetic. The media, having the entire system against them at all times, means it's very, very difficult to stand firm against the narrative the system creates. And so that means we have a lot of weak, pathetic Republicans, because eventually they just want to get from their car to the office without getting yelled at by anyone in the media. That's really what they want. And look, I don't want to dismiss this because I want you to understand something. And I say this to you as somebody who ran for office twice, lost twice, ran for office twice, and I now am somebody in the public eye, Chris. I'm a bit of a celebrity. What, Chris? But seriously, you know, I have this show. I have a TV show every night on the First TV. So I'm someone in the public eye now. When you are in the public eye and you're on the right, there's something that happens out there, and it is difficult to deal with, especially if you're not a jerk. The only reason I'm able to deal with this is because I'm such a cold, unfeeling jerk who only cares about himself. If I wasn't, I'd be in trouble. And this is what you have to deal with. When you get in trouble for something you've said or something you've done, when you get in any kind of trouble, it's not the enemy. It's not the enemy that makes it miserable, that makes you break. It's your friends. It's your family. And this is what I mean. Tonight, if I knocked off the show And I decided, you know what? I'm gonna start using drugs. I'm not gonna start using drugs, but I'm into drugs now, Chris. I'm a big drug guy. And I decided, you know, I want some heroin. And I ran to I don't know where you buy heroin. Probably the bad part of town. I'm gonna go buy some heroin from somebody. Whatever. I'll go shoulder tap some people. And I get my hands on a bunch of heroin. I don't know how much. It's a bunch. I'm assuming anything. I get my hands on some heroin. I'm driving home in my midlife crisis car. Pew! Cop pulls me over. Turns out I bought heroin from an undercover cop. Pulled over. Busted. Mugshot tomorrow morning. Jesse Kelly. Heroin bust. And then there's me in the mugshot. You know I'd still look good. But I have a mugshot. Jesse Kelly. Busted for heroin. What would the headlines be? I mean, how many places would you find those headlines? Geez, it would lead CNN, MSNBC. It'd be in the New York Times. It'd be all the communist groups would be dancing and stomping on my grave, right? But that's okay. I hate the New York Times. I hate CNN. I hate all these communists. Jesse, the Huffington Post, they'd like a comment. The Huffington Post can go screw themselves. I'm not giving them. I don't like that. That wouldn't be the problem. That really wouldn't be the problem. You know what would be the problem? Mom reads the headlines too. And while I'm being barraged by everything, this person wants a comment and this bad headline and this bad headline. Oh my gosh, Chris is calling me. Jesse, we've got 1,000 emails. Everyone's mad. None of that's a problem. You know what the problem is? Mom calls. Son, I saw what happened. What did you do? I can't believe that. And then the wife calls. Oh, Jesse, what did you do? Oh, my goodness, we're in so much trouble. And then your best buddy calls. Dude, what are you thinking, you idiot? It's not your enemies. It's your friends. It's your friends who get caught up in the panic that's created by the system. And they, inadvertently, they still love you. Inadvertently, they pile on you with everyone else. And that's what breaks you. And that, I want you to understand, that's what happens to Republicans so often. House, Senate, presidency. That's what happens to Republicans so often. It's not their friends, or it's not their enemies. It's their friends. I'm looking at a headline right here. Perfect example. Dr. Birx, you know that horrific witch. Dr. Birx, who admitted to COVID subterfuge. Remember, she admitted she lied about COVID numbers to Trump all the time. Says her go-to people were Jared Kushner and Mike Pence. Do you know why Donald Trump agreed to lock down the country and screwed up COVID so badly? It really wasn't his enemies. It wasn't the New York Times. It wasn't NBC or CNN. It was his friends. And Dr. Birx knew that. Go to Mike Pence. Hey, Jared Kushner, that's his son-in-law. It's your friends that walk in your office and start whispering honey in your ear. It's your friends that break you. That's the exact reason Republicans in the Senate broke and voted for a jerk water bill that sucks. That's another gigantic wad of pork barrel spending at a time when we have inflation. You know why? Because all these, quote, veteran groups came out for it. And John Stewart came out for it. And I was a sergeant in Iraq and I'm being hurt by this. All that would have been fine, except your friends come out against you. Your colleagues. Hey, don't you support veterans? Hey, I thought you supported our troops. I've told you before. Back when I ran for Congress, the main reason I lost my first race was I ran out of money after the primary, and my opponent, Gabrielle Giffords, lied endlessly about me on TV, edited some clips, and made it look like I wanted to take away old people's Social Security. So she just blatantly lied. And I'm not complaining. Politics is a contact sport. Good for her. That's fine. She won. I lost. But during that time when I didn't have any money, I eventually got the money and started counteracting the ads, and then that worked. But while she was bludgeoning me with that, I had, I don't know how many Republican older people come up to me, totally concerned look on their face, saying, I can't vote for you. In fact, I voted early. I already voted for Gabrielle Giffords. I'm sorry, but you want to take away my Social Security. It's not your enemies. It's your friends that get you all the time. I remember running for office. The worst thing was never the nasty ads they did or nasty things they said. The worst thing ever was you had to cancel the coffee this lady was going to host for you at her house because you had to do something else. Something else came up. Next thing you know, she's tearing out all your campaign signs and hates your guts. No understanding there. It's your friends that get you in the end. Remember that. All right. We're going to talk about tipping. Let's have a conversation about just the tip next. And your smile is a thin disguise. I thought by now you'd realize.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I die and I lay me to rest, gonna go to the that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and yes, I've been fantastic today. I didn't know what, Chris. I feel like I've been extra good today. Let's get to some emails before we get to this Just the Tip segment. By the way, Chris asked if I'm allergic to any medications, which is a really weird thing to ask. I don't, why are you? Why? Hold on. Why did you want to know what I'm allergic to? Are you planning on poisoning me, Chris? Is this because of the Jewish jokes? It is. I actually understand that. He's had enough. All right. I am allergic to penicillin. And you may think that's a bad thing. It's actually a wonderful thing, and I'll explain why. You know, I've described for you at various times before, I've described to you Marine Corps boot camp, right? Well, it was just a couple nights ago. I described to you about how they intentionally make you miserable. And I told you how when you sit, they make it miserable. Now, I need to explain what I mean by that. When you sit, unless you're in a classroom setting in boot camp, you don't get a chair. You definitely don't get to lean on something. You sit Indian style with your legs kind of crossed that way, but you have to sit with your back perfectly straight and your hands on each knee. Now, if you're in a position to do this right now, I want you to go do this on a hard floor. Cross your legs, sit Indian style, back perfectly straight, and a hand on each knee. Because it sounds like nothing, right? Sounds like totally nothing. No big deal. Just do it and try it. Do it for 20 minutes, not even a long time, and tell me how you feel. They'd have us do it for hours, right? It just puts extra strain on your body. Now, I need to defend the United States Marine Corps here for a moment. They have a reason for it. One, they're making various parts of your body hard that need to be hard. You need to have a stronger back and a stronger core, and that helps. They're helping stretch out your groin muscle, the inside of your thighs, because you're going to eventually go to the rifle range in boot camp, and one of the main shooting positions is a sitting position like that. Like, they're doing it for a reason, okay? I want to explain. They're doing it for a reason, but it is miserable, prolonged misery. And your butt hurts. Again, I want you to pick a hard floor and do this. Your butt hurts. It hurts bad. It's just, for some reason, it hits on the wrong spot on your butt cheeks, and it hurts. It's really uncomfortable. Your butt will go numb eventually. There are shots when you get in the Marines. Well, the military. I'm sure all the branches, including the Air Force, do this too. There are shots. They make you get all your shots. And I don't just mean shots that make you have a blood clot and die of a heart attack at 20. I mean your normal shots, back when they were just normal vaccinations. One of those shots they would make everybody get, no matter what, was a penicillin shot. And the drill instructors loved this shot in particular. Why? Because, one, it was brutally painful, from what I understand. Two, it was right on that spot on your butt where your butt sits on the hard floor. That's where they gave you the shot. So, greatest thing ever, I'm allergic to penicillin. The day we all have to go line up and get shots, they have us sitting on concrete, flat out concrete, of course, on purpose, right? They have us sitting all on concrete. Well, there were a few of us who were allergic to penicillin. I got to take a pill. I got a pill. Everyone else got a penicillin shot. And I mean, it was so bad. Some guys were flat out groaning, and to which I, you know, immediately jumped on that. Oh man, that sucks. It's comfortable over here. It was the best. Let's get to some emails. I mean, look, we have to get to some emails. Do we want, I guess we could talk some politics, but it's all so ugly. Did you hear the World Bank president describe why Pfizer is a little hesitant to go to other countries?
Immediate problem is indemnification. Pfizer has been hesitant to go into some of the countries because of the liability problems, or they don't have a liability shield. So we work with the countries to try to do that. This is all something that we're exploring. And our goal, my goal.
A liability shield? You want to inject people with something and you don't want any liability for it? What do we do here in America? We passed Operation Warp Speed, handed them billions of taxpayer money, and told them they weren't liable anymore. Daggone disgrace. All right. Dr. Bandito, every time you bring up a city or state, you rave that it's actually a really underrated city. And he said, read that in your voice. Chris, do I say that? I do say it all the time. I don't think I say that all the time, Chris. I do say it. Well, a lot of cities are. Well, Portland is underrated. Portland's a sweet. No, you know what? I take that back. They've wrecked Portland, right? The same way they've wrecked Seattle. Dude, Seattle's so stupid cool. Have you been to Seattle? Dude, Seattle's sick. Well, I take that back. It could be sick. They've wrecked it now. The communists have trashed the place. It's full of communists and poop now. But Seattle's, I mean, the Pacific Northwest is so beautiful and awesome. I would move to, if Seattle could get itself right, I would move to Seattle in a heartbeat. That's how beautiful and cool the Pacific Northwest is. Well, I don't say that about cities. You know why I say that about cities, actually? This is why I say it about cities. Because everybody complains about cities all the time. I find the good food spots. Look, if you have to be in a city for any reason, like I have to be in Dallas this weekend. I have to go do a CPAC thing up there. And maybe you hate Dallas. Maybe you love Dallas. I don't know. I know one thing. I'm going to have a blast in Dallas, because you know why? I'm going to do two things while I'm at CPAC in Dallas. One, I'm going to ignore all the texts from friends wanting to hang out. Two, I'm going to go to all the great food spots, and I'm going to eat my way through the city. And when I show back up at the airport with a belly full of breakfast tacos and queso, I'm going to be saying to myself, you know what? This place is underrated, man. This place is underrated. That's why Dallas is great. Anyway, he says, every city can't be underrated. Can you list some cities and states that are overrated or rated just right? Semper Fi, Marcus from New Jersey. Cities or states that are overrated? Arizona's overrated. The whole state, Chris. The whole state's overrated. I do hate the desert, and that's why. I despise the desert. Arizona isn't near as red as people say. See, you said New York. New York's freaking awesome. One, New York City, if you know how to have a blast, New York City's a good time. Dude, I've been in Russian bars in New York City where even the people who worked there only spoke Russian, and there was like a bunch of different kinds of vodka. Dude, that's cool. You can't find that other places. Okay, but set New York City. Maybe you're a New York City hater aside. By the way, 710WOR listeners, send your hate to Chris, not me. Let's say you hate New York City. That's fine. Big city's not for everybody. Upstate New York is awesome, dude. People don't understand, if you leave New York City, how blood red New York City is. New York, or blood red New York is the state. If you leave New York City, if you set New York City aside, New York might be one of the most red states in the United States of America. But the cities dominate the voting, so everyone thinks, oh, everyone that lives there is a communist. That's not true at all. Same thing in Jersey, same thing in California. That is a common tale. Overrated state. Arizona is an overrated state. Totally overrated. Two major cities in Arizona, Tucson and Phoenix. Phoenix, now granted, I've had a lot of good times in Phoenix, and there's a lot of great food in Phoenix. Phoenix is, it's okay. For a big city, it's okay. Tucson, it's their only other big city, sucks. That place is an absolute dump. Food selection sucks. It all sucks. Plus, it's a desert, which sucks. So there, everywhere is not overrated or underrated. Arizona's overrated. All right, now it's time to talk about CNN and make fun of them and Just the Tip. Before we do that, let's have you switch your cell phone service for me real quick. T-Mobile, AT&T. Verizon, I don't want you to take my word for it. I really genuinely do not. I want you to go online, and I want you to pick an issue you're passionate about. Maybe it was all that Pride Month filth. Maybe it's abortion. Maybe whatever. I want you to pick an issue you're passionate about, and I want you to look up, do an internet search for Verizon and that issue. Remember, I pulled up yesterday, Verizon has their own ESG page. I'm sure T-Mobile and AT&T do. Pure Talk doesn't. Dial #250 from your cell phone and switch to Pure Talk. It takes less than 10 minutes. You'll save a fortune. They have the best offer I've ever seen from them right now. You get a month free when you dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk. #250, say Jesse Kelly.
Truth, attitude, Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Chris is just on the finishing up this conversation we were just having. Chris was complaining about the cities, all cities, because Chris is complaining about the crime. And look, this headline here doesn't help. Chicago doesn't have enough police to respond to 911 calls. I'll tell you what, I'll get to that in a quick second. Now we'll get to, you know, Just the Tip and these things. But I just want to say this. Yes, cities are always inevitably going to have more crime. Cities are going to have more crime because you have more people piled on top of each other, which is, in general, not how people are supposed to live, and more poverty. So you're going to have poor people piled on top of each other. Inevitably, you're going to have more crime. I understand that. However, I will say, prior to all this George Soros DA stuff, prior to the St. George Floyd death with all the defund the police stuff. So prior to that, I'm only speaking prior to that. I have been in many a big city. I've had many a good time in New York, Chicago, LA. I've had a blast in Miami. I've had a blast in these places.
Yes, there's no question. You have to be more aware of where you are. You don't want to venture into the wrong area. I get that. All that is very, very true. Prior to the St. George Floyd stuff, I never once felt unsafe in New York City. Now, I am 6'8", and I don't generally have a nervous soul anyway, so I don't feel nervous when I walk around. And I only say that not because I'm some tough guy, but I'm not a woman, right? That a perspective would be different. If you're some, you know, you're some 120-pound dime, you're going to feel a little bit more unsafe anyway. You're surrounded by people who can beat you up anytime they want. I used to get to a place like New York City, and I just couldn't get the smile off my face. L.A., I've had so much fun in L.A. We used to go over to Hollywood and party. It's kind of dumpy now, but we used to get... Chris is pointing out the drugs. Listen, in New York now, they do drugs out in the open, and they pee in the open. It's really, really bad. But prior to Bill de Blasio taking over New York, I never saw anybody doing drugs in the open. I'm not saying it didn't happen. There's always been drugs there. I'm not naive. I've never seen it. Like, they talk about the crime problem in L.A. I know L.A.'s always had crime. I'm not dumb. I took the wrong exit off the airport once when I was dropping a buddy off, and I ended up in Inglewood, and that was a culture shock for me. I'd never been in a really, really poor black neighborhood before. It was wild, Chris, driving down the strip at, I took it as the strip, the main road in Inglewood. Everything was barred. Everything was barred up. All the shops that weren't open, they all had sheets of metal doors that had slid down on top of them. So it was more than just bars. The places that were open, it was all bars. And then I was trying to get out. And this is prior to cell phones where you can just pull up a GPS. I'm trying to eyeball my way out of Inglewood. I'm in a crappy car because I'm poor as can be. And I'm driving through Inglewood. And you're going by all these houses. And it's some of the worst poverty you've ever seen in your life. All these houses, terrible. But then there'd be this $80,000 car in the driveway here, an $80,000 car in the drug dealers, Chris, criminals. So it was a very dangerous place. I don't know why I'm getting sidetracked on this, but people who don't live in the cities or haven't been to a couple places, they don't understand how some people in America live. If you want a safe way, a relatively safe way to look at some of the rougher parts of America, I've got a way you can do it. Take the train from New York to Washington, D.C., or vice versa. Now, that may sound like nothing. The first time I did it, I was stunned. My jaw was hanging open the whole time. There are people in this country, as you listen to the sound of my voice, there are people in this country, because you can see them all on the train tracks, because they put all the crappy poor houses by the train tracks, right? Because no one else wants to live by the train tracks. There are people who live in this country in houses without windows. There are places that don't have windows in the country. You can see just death and drugs and misery all around you. It's really, really bad. But Chris was insulting the cities as being crime-ridden. And look, a lot of that stuff's true now. But I'm telling you, you can have a really good time, especially as a young dude in a city. You can have a really, really, really good time. Look, there's always concerts and plays. Chris, I'm sure you probably like plays. That's something lame that you would like. But there's just always something. The food, man. The food. I just eat my way through it. All right. Can you defend yourself if you run into one of those people, though? If you're in a city or in the country, but definitely if you're in a city, if you run into a bad person now, can you stop them? Get a hero gun, please. Carry a hero gun on you. If your daughter's in the city, my goodness, please get her a hero gun or a hero arrow. If you're sending your wife to the city, a hero gun. Fellas, same thing applies to you. I promise you're not John Rambo. Get a hero gun. It's a non-lethal gun. Shoots pepper balls. They hit, it hurts, and then they explode and you're engulfed in this chemical pepper cloud. You don't need a concealed carry permit. Anyone can use this gun. Point and squeeze. It has a laser sight on it. You point and squeeze, and it will save your life. It has saved lives of my listeners. Go to hero2020.com. Use the code Jesse, and it gets you a special discount. All right? hero2020.com. Code Jesse. State restrictions may apply. I thought this was hilarious. San Francisco's famous Zuni Cafe got rid of tips, and now servers want them back. What they did was they replaced tips with a 20% automatic fair wage surcharge. The goal was to raise wages for the lowest paid workers, so on and so forth. The employees are now in open revolt. They're thinking about walking out because they want the tip back. And here's what happened. Here's what happens. These guys work on just the tip lots of times. The guys and gals who work in the retail industry, they prefer just the tip. They don't make any money on the actual base salary. They make money on tips. They want a tip. When they're dealing with you, they want you to give them a tip. If you take away that incentive, the customer service goes away completely. And, but wait, there's more, because this has happened to me recently. When you throw an extra charge on there, what you've done is you've guaranteed I won't tip. This is starting to happen to me recently, and I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I pride myself on being a good tipper. I try to be a good tipper. It's one of the things I admire most, actually, of all things about Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh was famously an absurd tipper. He would just leave absurd amounts of money. And I don't have absurd amounts of money. If I ever do, I'll try to do that. But I try to leave a lot of money as a tip. I mean, I'll leave 25, 30% without hesitation as a tip if I can afford it. Unless I see on there, there's an automatic tip that has been assigned. And I've seen this a lot lately. Restaurants are assigning 20% automatically. You do that, your tip is $0. $0 from me. You automatically take it, I take it away from you. Right or wrong, that's the way it goes. All right. Emails. Someone's family sold them out. Hang on.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.